Well, is this what it's always like this in the mornings? There's like a dozen chairs are empty. No one wants to sit by the preacher, right? Happy commencement day. I know some of you guys are going to be celebrating a lot. A lot of you guys probably know someone who's getting a degree. This morning, I'm going to talk about joy. Joy is found in the presence of Christ. But first, before we dive into that, I just want us to think about how do we as Americans find joy and happiness. Everyone is driven by it. Everyone is looking for it. Christmas is coming up. And I know, for me, true confession, I want board games, gadgets, new devices, and growing up, that's what I wanted. I wanted video games. But what did I always get? I always got clothes, sweaters, socks, boring. But now that I'm an adult, I'm like, that's exactly what I want. I want socks, sweaters. It's cold outside. Throw in a pair of boots. Who knows what the most popular Amazon purchase was on Cyber Monday? Anyone know? The Echo Dot was the most popular item. Why wouldn't you want that? A device that plays music to you, a device that calls your mom for you, a device that plays games with you. The Star Trek world is closer than ever. You have a personal assistant that you can talk to. A new phone comes out once every month. Wasn't it like 1 month the iPhone 8 was out, and then very next month, all right? That was so last month. Now we're on to the iPhone X. Toys for adults. I think about commercials. Man, car commercials are just so interesting to me. You don't get a list of pros and cons for owning a car. You get visual images. Right? Power, style, reputation, pleasure. They're not information-driven. They're not trying to convince your mind of something. They're trying to pull on your heartstrings. You are not complete until you have this. Until you have this, then you'll be fulfilled. Then you'll be satisfied. What are some other ways that we can get joy? Oprah Winfrey has a path. Self-help, psychology, you can change yourself. Buddhists have a path. This is how you get rid of anxiety. The gym rats, the CrossFit cult, I know some of you guys can get angry at me for saying that, but they have a path to happiness. Live a long and healthy life. Why are we still unhappy? Think about how far we've come, all the advancement in technology. Flight, I can get anywhere in the world in less than 24 hours. Think about the internet, I can communicate with anyone in the world instantly. Think about all the advancements we've come as a society, and it still hasn't given us happiness. We have more social freedoms than ever. We have more vacation time than ever. We live longer than ever. Yet, if we were to compare journal entries from today versus, say, like 500 years ago, what would we see today? We'd see in our journals boredom, anxiety, depression. I think it'd be nearly impossible to argue that people today are happier than people 500 years ago. Why aren't we more happy? And I think it makes sense to me why people outside of the church aren't happy, but what about us? What about people who are devoted followers of Jesus? I get why people who are far from God struggle with joy, but why is it that even Christians who are devoted followers of Jesus struggle to have joy? That's the question that I have for us this morning. And why is this important? What's at stake? So what if I don't have joy? Well, one reason is because our spiritual walk depends on this. If we don't have joy, we can settle for a cheap version of happiness. I grew up going to church, Sunday school, and we were subjected to some corny Sunday school songs. And I have this picture of like this children's song. It's called Down in My Heart. And I know there's going to be a cultural divide in here. Some of you guys grew up in church, and you're just getting flashbacks, and some of you guys are just dumbfounded. Like, what is this? So this is from a children's song called I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down My Heart. Yes, some of you guys know it. I don't know who came up with it, but to be filled with joy means that we don't have a care in the world. We wake up with a song in our heads. Now, I'm not dogging the song. I'm just think that we as Christians can portray a really shallow, counterfeit version of joy. We feel pressure to say everything's fine. How are you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing today? I'm good. God's good all the time. Not only is our spiritual walk at stake this morning, but if we have this cheap and counterfeit happiness, it also hurts our ability to influence people. We are saying to the world, we love Jesus with our mouth, but with our actions, we still love the things of the world. What kind of testimony is that to the world? It's hypocritical. Not only is our spiritual walk at stake, not only is our witness to the world at stake, but God's glory. Can we live life for God without joy? Would God be glorified without joy? In the Westminster Catechism, the first statement goes, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So, what's at stake? Our joy in Christ, our witness to the world, God being glorified. So, with that, I'm going to pray for us as we dive into God's word. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to sing to you, to think about you. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would reveal yourself to us. Lord, I pray that this morning, this would not just be routine for us. A lot of us just get up on Sunday mornings because this is the thing to do. I pray against routine. I pray that we would have an encounter with you this morning. I pray that we would hear from you. I pray that this talk would be more than just the words that I thought of this past week, but it would be about your spirit whispering to our hearts. Lord, I praise things in your name. Amen. All right, here's where I'm going. This morning I want to show us and talk about the fact that joy is found in the presence of Christ. I've got three main points. In his presence, we have eternal joy. In his presence, we have the gift of joy. And then finally, I'm just going to walk through, hey, how can we actually do this? How can we pursue the presence of Christ? We're going to be in Psalm 16. So if you have a Bible, grab them. I think I'm going to have it up on the screen for you. But Psalm 16:11 is written by David, the psalmist. And he is just a man after God's heart. Famous passage, some of you guys have probably heard it before. Here's what it says. Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. His joy never runs dry. It's a fountain that pours out over and over and over. There is no end to the joy of Christ because there is no end to Christ. In his presence we have an eternal joy. The first line says, you make known to me the path of life. What's God doing? He's leading us. He's guiding us. How does he do it? He does it through the church. We give each other wisdom. We read the Bible, read his word, and he guides us through his Holy Spirit. This is his personal love letter to us. This is his personal revelation to us. We have that in our hands. He guides us in prayer. We confess. We repent. We listen to him in prayer, and he guides us in those ways. When he guides us, then we're in his presence. And when we're in his presence, we have eternal joy. Next line there says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. How? How are we in his presence? Well, when we're in his presence, he's welcoming us home. He's embracing us like a father. What's the result, man? When he embraces us, fear, anxiety just melt away. Loneliness subsides. Doubt is replaced with a confidence of his love. This fuels our hearts. We get an adrenaline shot of joy. It's like stepping out into the sun after a long winter season. I know it's just the start, so it's going to be a tough, it's going to be a while before we see some sun. It's like looking out at the horizon filled with mountains and trees and valleys and oceans. Now, I know we live in Ohio and we're surrounded by cornfields, so imagine Googling images of the mountains and the trees and the oceans, right? It's like coming home after a hard season of life, being wrapped in the blanket of joy. Can you imagine that kind of joy? Can you imagine this joy being eternally secured for you in Christ? And in his presence, there is an eternal joy. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. How are we in God's presence? Well, for those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Savior, we are now adopted into God's family. We have the same privileges as the Son. We will never be disowned. There's a story that I read. One day, President John F. Kennedy was in a meeting in his Oval Office with some really important VIPs, leaders. Strict instructions had been given. No one is to come and disturb this meeting. And then during a very crucial point in the meeting, there's tense talks, there's negotiations. All of a sudden, the door flies open. Everyone looks startled. Who got through security? In marches this little boy. This boy just runs up right up to the president, jumps up on his lap, cuddles in his lap, the most powerful man on earth. This is John F. Kennedy, and the little kid who ran in is John F. Kennedy Jr. It's his son. What no one else could have done, this boy was able to do without a moment's hesitation. He had privileged access. No one could stop him. Can you imagine anyone else trying to do that? Like the head of security? Nope. The secretary of state? Nope. You know, why does he do that? Why is little JFK Jr. running to his daddy? Because there's no joy. There's nothing like the joy of being close to daddy. In the same way, there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't matter what God is doing, he can make time. Try talking to him when you get ready for the day in the kitchen. Morning, Jesus. I'm trying to make some hot tea. I've got a long and busy day ahead of me. Man, this is taking so long. I've got to wait like 5 minutes for this water to heat up. What are you up to right now? Oh, not much. Just holding the universe together by the power of my word. Making sure that water of yours still obeys the laws of thermodynamics. And wow, okay. Thanks for doing that. I feel better about my day already. Okay. That's silly example, right? But man, God's presence brings joy. Once you've tasted it, you want more of it. Joy is found in the presence of Christ. And finally, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He has so much pleasure to offer us. Why is he talking about pleasure here? Isn't that bad? Is that carnal and of the world? No, this is a holy pleasure. This is a joy of God that starts now and lasts for all eternity. Jonathan Edwards, he's this preacher from the 18th century, he says this. The apostle tells us that God is love, and therefore seeing he is an infinite being, it follows that he is an infinite fountain of love. Seeing he is an all-sufficient being, it follows that he is a full and overflowing and inexhaustible fountain of love. And in that, he is an unchangeable and eternal being. He is an unchangeable and eternal fountain of love. In his presence, we have an eternal joy. Man, I want so much for us, guys. I want so much for us to know his joy, his love, but the temptation to believe that our joy is dependent on our circumstance, that's dependent on our phase of life, it's just so immense. Habakkuk understood this. In Habakkuk 3, it says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Man, the author here, he sees reality. There's a famine. He's destitute. He's dead broke. How is he going to provide for his family? Some of you guys are going through a difficult situation currently. You don't see how God's going to provide for you. Maybe you don't have direction career-wise. Maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed by anxiety. Maybe you're just tired of being single and feeling alone. You need God in a big way. How does Habakkuk still have joy when he's destitute? He knows God. He knows the God of the universe who always provides. Here's this saying from Dale Carnegie. He says this, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. Wow. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Doesn't depend on our external circumstance. These two people had the exact same situation, but vastly different responses. Why is that? The difference was inside the heart. The difference is what's on the inside. Do we have the presence of God inside of us? Joy does not depend on our circumstances. It depends on the presence of God. This doesn't mean we never feel sad or grieve when something tragic happens, when there's death or illness in the family. That's a time to be sad and a time to grieve. And if your friend sees you and says, cheer up, put a smile on your face, don't let this get you down, this person probably doesn't understand biblical joy. If tragedy strikes and you never get down on your knees and cry out, then not only is that unbiblical, it's probably unhealthy as well. Over the past few weeks, I've met with a friend who, man, he's going through a rough season. His marriage might be ending, and this is awful. It's a time to be sad. It's a time to grieve. But I am so proud of my friend. He did not stay there. He is digging deeper into his walk with Jesus. He's holding on tighter to Jesus. He's crying out to Jesus every single morning. And that's what we need to do. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Man, real biblical joy is when we're in the middle of suffering and we still choose Christ. We run to him. We throw ourselves on his mercy and grace. Why? Why do we do that? Because joy is found in the presence of Christ. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at his life. I just look at the book of Philippians and I'm like, wow. They tell him, all right, Paul, stop preaching about Jesus. We're going to throw you in prison. Well, to live is Christ, okay? We're going to take everything from you. We're going to torture you and kill you. To die is gain. They get furious. They throw him in prison. And you know what happens? Paul preaches the gospel in prison, and the prison guards get converted to Christianity. Ugh! These guys can't do anything to him. They are so frustrated. Can you imagine how they reacted? There's nothing we can do to this guy. That's why Paul was so frustrating to the authorities. He was so frustrating to them because they couldn't take away his joy, no matter what they did to him. He had an eternal joy because he was in the presence of God. In his presence, we have an eternal joy. Paul recalls to mind his God, his Savior. And that's what we need to do. We've been redeemed. We've been bought at a price. We've been clothed in the righteousness of God. That's forever. We've been adopted into God's family. That's forever. Joy doesn't depend on our circumstance. It depends on being in the presence of Christ. 1 Peter 1:8 has a beautiful statement about joy. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We don't see him right now. We don't see him face to face. But we can have this incredible joy, this joy that's inexpressible. I think about the summer times when you're driving on the highway, the windows are down, your favorite song comes on, and you just kind of move your hand through the wind. What is that? That's inexpressible joy. When two people fall in love, their joy is inexpressible. They look at each other with these googly eyes, and that's joy that's inexpressible. And by the way, when you're in it, when you're the couple, you don't realize this, but when you watch other couples do this, it's like really annoying. It's joy is inexpressible. Joy is filled with glory. This type of joy is holy, it's supernatural, it's divine. Christmas is just around the corner. A lot of kids are asking for toys, but some kids are just asking that their daddies that are serving in a dangerous country overseas would come home. I saw this one on Facebook recently. There's this family huddled together. Yeah. So I'll set it up. There's this family, they're huddled together. They're with friends. The father's gone, so there's this gaping hole in the family. Right? Mother, daughter, and son are being encouraged by this announcer, but it's a ploy. The announcer is trying to get them to look a certain direction, and then there's this man that emerges from behind, and then here's the man. You know, he shows up, and this is their reaction. Get this. when they see it's their father, he's home, they don't hesitate. They take off in a dead sprint towards him. When they meet, what happens? There's no words. There's just hugging and kissing and laughter and joy. It's joy that is inexpressible. In his presence, we have an eternal joy. Now, not only is this joy eternal, but it's also a gift. Galatians 5:22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's Psalm again, sorry. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. When we become devoted followers of Jesus, right, we get the Holy Spirit. We're redeemed by him. We get the supernatural joy. And the picture that we get in Galatians is one of, man, this is a tree and it has certain fruit. And Jesus even says this in Matthew 7. He says, you can recognize a tree by its fruit. He's talking about people. If you see good fruit, that means it's a good tree. If you see bad fruit, it's a bad tree. Now, what's interesting to note here in Galatians, in this verse, Paul doesn't list spiritual gifts. Instead, he lists Christ-like qualities. Now, why is that? One might think of Matthew 7, where this is a possible reason that Jesus says that it's possible for a person to appear to be using a spiritual gift without actually having the Holy Spirit, which the implication here in Galatians 5 is that Christ-like qualities can't be faked. If Christ-like qualities can't be faked, then that means joy is a gift. Real joy cannot be faked. It's a gift. The Spirit of God gives us the gift of joy. In his presence, we have the gift of joy. Jesus is the epitome of joy. He did everything to give us joy. He endured suffering with joy. In his presence, we have the gift of joy. Man, I want so much for us, guys. And I'm afraid that some of us are just going to do church life and not really know Christ. We'll attend and make some friends and go on some cool mission trips, but not really experience the presence of Christ. And eventually, we're going to give up. No amount of entertainment is going to keep us in this if joy never becomes real. And I know some of you are thinking, I've tried this. Dan, I've tried this. I've tried reading my Bible. I've tried praying. It just doesn't work for me. I've sat in church for years. I've sat in church for decades, and I have not experienced the type of joy that you're talking about this morning. Here's the truth, all right? God wants you to experience this type of joy, but we have to fight for it. Guys, we have to fight for it. We have to fight for this every day. We have to go to him with the white flag, I surrender. We don't experience joy because we don't run to Jesus, and we don't run to Jesus because we don't believe the gospel's for us. Here's the good news, all right? The gospel's for you. If you are not a Christian in here, just checking things out, the gospel's for you. If you are a Christian in this room, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 days or if you've been a Christian for 50 years, the gospel is for you. Psalm 16:11, in his presence we have fullness of joy. We do not deserve to be in the presence of God. We have sinned. We have said, God's not worthy of our time. And instead of running into God's presence, we have run away from God's presence. We have said, Romans 1 says that instead of worshiping and serving the Creator, we've decided to run after created things. And so we'd rather have new toys and new cars, new girlfriend, new boyfriend, more money, more power. And when that stuff doesn't satisfy, we go, oh, I know, I just need more of that stuff. And then I'll be satisfied. It's a cycle. This is treason against the king. And treason against the king means that we deserve the penalty of death. Here's the gospel. We are created to find joy in Christ, but we ran away from him. We ran away from his presence. And you know what God's response was? He came to this earth as Jesus, and he rescued us. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. He was crucified on the cross in our place for our sin. And then by doing so, he satisfies the just wrath of God the gospel is for you. I know we believe lies. I know because I believe this lie all the time. I became a Christian by grace. Now I've got to perform. We think we're just too messy. So we'll go and clean ourselves up a little bit first. And that is a lie. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to think, that we have to clean ourselves up a little bit. And that's why we run away from him instead of running to him. Listen, God is not in love with some future cleaned up version of you. Okay? He's in love with you right now where you're sitting in your chair. He's in love with you today. Man, can you imagine that? What if this is true? What if this is true? While we were yet sinners, Christ died 2,000 years ago, all right? When Jesus goes to the cross and he's crucified, how many of your sins were future sins? Right? How many of our sins were future sins? It's a rhetorical question, all right? All of them. All of them were future sins to him. And yet, Jesus, knowing all the ways we've messed up, he still goes to the cross. You are not beyond the reach of God's grace, the gift of eternal joy. Joy is found in his presence. All right, so if that's the case, if joy is found in the presence of Christ, let's run to him. So I'm just going to share a few things I thought of for practicals for how we can be running into the presence of Christ. This past week, I actually just spent some time with the Lord, and I'm going, man, I need a lot of guidance in my life. And so I asked Brad Pichadek, who is our resident Columbus Metro Parks park ranger, and he was like, hey, there's this park here, a bunch of parks. There's one that's like an hour away. I'm like, great. I checked the weather report, high of 28. I'm like, I'm going to spend time with the Lord in my bedroom. So go to my bedroom, got the Bible out, got the candles out, got the heaters blasting, and I'm like, all right, God, need some direction, need some guidance. You know what God does? Before he doesn't do any of that. He actually just points out sin and fear. I'm like, God, I'm looking for guidance. No, here's ways that you're still fearful. Here are ways that you're not living according to my law. Man. So I was fearful. I was fearful of things that I didn't even know about. I was fearful of difficult and uncomfortable situations. I was fearful of situations I couldn't control. So I had to repent of that. I wasn't walking in faith in those things. Keep this in mind. The gospel gives us the freedom of self-forgetfulness. Some of us need to stop making happiness our ultimate goal, because if we do that, we'll never really get joy. Instead, we need to love Jesus and love others, and then joy will be a byproduct. When we start thinking about ourselves less, then we'll be in God's presence. Then we'll have the joy of Christ. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every single day. Too often we listen to these junk tapes that we're playing to ourselves. We're just feeding ourselves lies. We have to start feeding ourselves truth, the truth of who we are in Christ. Some of us need to take some time and be in solitude. Some of us need to take a walk in the woods and meditate. But others of us need to sit in the crowded coffee house and with our headphones in, right? Practicals. We're going to have to detox. It's not going to feel right at first. You might feel dumb, you might feel silly, or even confused. Keep fighting for it. Be aware of distractions. Some of us need to just turn off the devices, turn off the music. Time. All right, I'm guilty of this. When are you most awake? Why do we give God our leftovers? Let's give God our best. Your heart, surrender yourself to the Lord. Pray and ask him for help. Jesus, help me. Have mercy on me. Think about the mind. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Some of us just need to bring sin out into the light. Some of us are just have all this secret sin, and we just need to confess it. Get physical exercise. You don't have to join a CrossFit box, but get physical exercise, you know, get lots of sleep. Go to bed early. That could be the most spiritual thing that we do today. When you're driving, you listen to the Bible on tape. When you're walking to a meeting, pray and listen to the Lord. When I get up in the morning, before my feet even hit the floor, I go, God, help me today. Have mercy on me. Help me to honor you today. Man. Here's another one. Karl Meisterheim taught me this. He says, I was driving around with him once, and he said, every time that he hears sirens, every time he hears like a cop or ambulance, he just stops and prays. I'm like, oh, that's so spiritual. Because what he's doing is he's aligning his heart with the Lord's heart. You know, he's praying for the brokenness of the world. Here's another one. One of my best friends, Aaron, he taught me this. We were friends from like undergrad, and we talk on the phone for hours. We, you know, catch up and confess sin to one another, but he would never let me go unless we ended our phone conversation with prayer. That was his way of bringing God in. That was his way of bringing God's presence in. Man, joy is found in the presence of Christ. This is the last thing I'll say. You can do this. I know as I spent time with the Lord this week, it was so humbling. It was so hard. Oh, but it's so worth it. When God actually shows up, man, it's worth it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can do this. God can help you. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's Romans. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You can do this. You can run into His presence. You can spend time and actually feel His joy. Joy is found in the presence of Christ. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for a chance to just open up your scriptures. I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would give us a desire to love you, to pursue you, to just bask in your presence, Lord. God, I know this isn't a quick one-day fix. It's going to take time, but Lord, I pray that each one of us would just walk out of here with a next step. Lord, would you help us? Lord, just open up our eyes, open up our hearts. Help us to feel just tired of the ways that we've been living. Help us to feel tired of trying to find joy in worldly things. Convince us, Lord. Convince our hearts that you have everything that we need. Convince us that joy is found in your presence. In your name, amen.